At this point, I introduce to you our preacher for today, Bro Emmanuel Echele. The topic of our sermon today is Priscilla and Aquila, a godly marriage for ministry. So we welcome Bro Emmanuel Echele to share the word, and we look forward to learning more about this aspect of our first quarter sermon series of 2025, the impact of unsung hero. Bro Emmanuel Echele, please.
You now know that I have a new surname. By the way, a member of our church met Lydia in All Souls, and she was trying to introduce herself. And when she tried hard that the man was Ocholi, he said his other name is Emmanuel. I know Emmanuel, but I don't know Mr. Ocholi. I think, brothers and sisters, this has been an amazing journey. Trying to understand some unknown, unsung heroes in the scriptures that have made a lot of difference in helping us to understand the total picture of the scripture. The processing of this reminded me of one of the areas that people who don't like team games, football or basketball, something that is always celebrated, the best assist. I don't know whether anybody has got known about assists. Many of us, years after, know Michael Jordan. I don't know how many of us know the best assist in the same team with Michael Jordan. If I name our one and only Bukayo, for those who follow Arsenal, it would be nice to know who is the best assist. God is prompting us today to take a look at an interesting assist. A couple, Prisca and Aquila. I must emphasize that this message is not about how to make your marriage work. Because if you look at the title today, it is Marriage for Ministry. It is a couple who banded together in support of ministry. In plain terms, it is a ministry that is focused on support. A ministry that is least celebrated or least understood. While the Lord called Paul and Silas and Barnabas during a prayer meeting with specific mandate, Prisca and Aquila were never called within the context of the passages that refer to them in the scriptures. But as the Sunday school alluded to, there's no doubt that they were believers. Whether they were believers before they met Paul, or they were led to the Lord by Paul, that we'll know when we get to heaven, if we need to know. But they were just ordinary men and women, man and woman, husband and wife, just trying to settle down to the business of living. In primary school, I don't know how many times I traveled to London. And there are some here who know they traveled. But in our class, they'll say, let's do imaginary travel to London. So let's do a little bit of imaginary travel to the life of Prisca and Aquila, Priscilla and Aquila. Two young graduates or persons wanted to learn a trade, and they attended the school of tent making. And in learning how to make tents, something happened in between. And the summary was that they got married. And they started, as I said, this is an imaginary journey. So don't quote me, that is somewhere in the Bible. They decided rather than going to work for some major tent making industry, to start a tent making business as entrepreneurs. At this point, therefore, they didn't have enough money to own a house yet. So, like many of us, they rented where they stayed and they started their business in Rome. And the business was just beginning to settle. And a decree came up. All of you who are Jews, get out of town. They were expelled from Rome. Is that familiar today? Are there some people being expelled from America? Are there some people who in my generation and some old people's generation here left the north, left Lagos, and went to the east because of whatever happened, a disruption to life? This young couple left Rome. Whoever suggested or whoever led them, they went to settle in Corinth. Verse 1 and 2 of chapter 18 says, they had just recently arrived from Rome because the Caesar had asked them to go. Their life had just been disrupted. And they come to Corinth. They are tent makers, they are professionals, rented a place, and they are just beginning to put their lives together. Maybe somebody mentioned to a mentor, somebody who probably was either in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit came, somebody who had been somewhere during Paul's first missionary journey, had mentioned and sent a message that there's actually some young couple that are trying to settle down in Corinth. And verse 3 says, Paul went to see them. They didn't meet in synagogue. Say, Paul went to see them and they started talking. One thing led to another. They discovered that Paul also was first and foremost a tent maker before he became a preacher. And the rest of the discussion is captured in the scripture because they were tent makers. By the way, Paul had had some awesome 3 months driven from Thessalonica, smuggled out of Berea, laughed at and misunderstood in Athens. Paul probably also came to Corinth discouraged, looking for some companionship. And one thing led to another. The couple said, there's a room here, you're a tent maker. So Paul was very focused on his ministry of preaching. So every weekend, every Saturday, he went to the synagogue, probably carried these young people to synagogue. But during the week, they were all making tents and selling the product of their whatever and looking after themselves. There is a section of the passage we didn't read that I have prompted us to read, and I'm prompting us to read along the line. The gap between verse 5 of Acts 18 and verse 24, very interesting things happened in that slot. But we'll touch them as we go. So they followed him and they were making tents. And one of the first things that happened, a week or two later, Paul's aides, Silas and Timothy, came visiting. Came from where he was smuggled out much earlier. And the question that first came to my mind was, actually, where did they stay when they came? Imaginary journey, they stayed with Prisca and Aquila. Because the Bible says, after they came, Paul started preaching regularly. He no longer made tents, or he didn't have time for tent making. If you were a young couple, how would you read your journey to this point? One, it would have been one of the most inconvenient time to practice hospitality. Two, it would have been nice to know the level of argument that was happening between Prisca and Aquila with regard to whatever you know, some of you who have been in that space. But there must have been a commonality, a commitment to minister together, to live together, to suffer together, that suddenly, when you're just trying to put your life together, there's somebody you have to extend hospitality to. And before you know what's happened, the person has two others. And those of you who have missionaries hang around you, I don't know how many times sometimes missionaries have come with friends and visitors to your house for lunch that you didn't package for them. And God has given wisdom for the mothers of the home who manage that aspect to know what to do. So the first thing that struck me was the fact that, one, they had three people around them. Second thing that struck me was that Paul comes to visit. Paul agreed to stay or was around them because he's a tent maker. When you go to verse 11 of this portion we didn't read, Paul stayed for 18 months. Which means the staying was not just an overnight person, but you have 3 months at least to look after for 18 months. You're just trying to put yourself together. That the ministry of support within the context of advancing the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is not necessarily a ministry of convenience. It's a ministry of sacrifice. It's a calling to be there to fill the gap of those who necessarily are not, or those who have been specifically called, but who need support. Basic physical thing that you don't pray about. You need a roof over your head. You probably need to pay school fees. You probably need to move around. One other thing that hit me reading the in-between passage, the one we read, and this is prompting you please to take time to read later. During this period, first and foremost, Jews kicked Paul out of the synagogue. Next, they arranged to force him, harass him, and take him to court. The court says, this is about religion, it's not our business. And they refused to hear the case. And they beat the synagogue leader and all of those things. All those, that situation. I had wondered, when Paul said in Roma, in his letter to the Romans, chapter 16, verse 5 that we read, that he says, they risked their lives for me, and not just only me, but for the churches of the Gentiles. Nothing situates it more than, because you are the host of this preacher, your house is his house for 18 months, you actually carry along all the hate and everything that goes with him. That is the implication sometimes of being a support. The ministry of support. So if there is one lesson God brought out to me, thinking about this unsung hero, this couple, is that they took risks on behalf of the gospel, in advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we were to ask ourselves a question, what is the nature of my walk with Christ? A faith of convenience? A faith of just going to church when it's time to the church? Is there actually anywhere in my journey where I am playing some uncelebrated, unacknowledged, unknown role that is advancing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? So, a major first point to me was that it was inconvenient, but they dared to be part and parcel of the advancement of the gospel. The second point that also hit me is just the teamwork that they had together. For some couples, you know that that is enough excuse for living apart. Enough excuse for calling it quits. But interestingly, any person, if you Google Aquila or Google Priscilla, any time they called one, they called the other. So they ministered together. And you can know why the imaginary journey said they land tent making together. They served together. They participated in the church in their houses together. In their houses, yes. Because they were three different houses at three different times. But there was that teamwork around the couple. But just a slight deviation from that to say, serving in the support ministry that we're talking about is not only only reserved for married couples. We know persons in the scripture, if nothing else, we know that Lazarus and his sisters were almost likely in the same situation, because if you read the story of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, that was the only home that Jesus Christ will go and put his leg on the table. That if you look at that story, there's nowhere in the scripture that they did some preaching inside that house. And yet, in one of the Bible studies that we had, he was one of those who preached without preaching. Because the Pharisees saw that Jesus raised him from the dead, everybody was going to his house, and they started going after him to kill him. So, am I able to be part of a ministry of support that is physical? We haven't gone to the spiritual aspect yet, but just being there for missionaries. Which leads us to the third reason why they are unsung, that their missionary support was their lifestyle. We just finished in the last 2 weeks the week of mission. For 1 week, 1 month, we were having review on getting our missionaries to come. Beyond, thank God that this church prides itself in throwing most or sending most of the funds God gives us to support missionaries. How many of us actually know the missionaries, some of them by name? How many of us have adopted some of the missionaries to pray for, to come alongside us? How many of us have actually dared to invite them home for lunch? Not even to stay with us. Reverend Max is here, and during that process, at the beginning, he shared a testimony with us in the Sunday school that he was in a church in the U.S. They provided everything that could be provided a missionary. Food, thank God for Airbnb, accommodation, transport. But that no one person from the church he was visited. VFC, if the Lord placed us on a scale regarding to what extent we are like Prisca and Aquila, where will it turn? Enough that we send checks? Enough that we invite missionaries to speak to us? Has any missionary adopted you, as it were, as their home base? Again, about a month ago, or sometime in January or early February, the worship director stood here to announce the fact that there was within the worship team a hospitality unit. And I chatted with her to actually find out what does this unit do? What does it do? Says, one, they go to the airport to pick preachers who come to us from outside. They move them around town if they need to. A few of them, and he named about two or three, actually offer to house them while they are here. Is that information general to us? Do we realize the fact that when missionaries come, sometimes they actually prefer to have somebody around that they can gist with and they can talk with than to just come and preach to us and go back? And for me, if we are talking about the cocoa of the matter, this is the cocoa of the story in the life of Prisca and Aquila. Because the question for me is, where did Prisca and Aquila learn enough about Jesus Christ to be able to talk to another preacher and help another preacher to hear the story of Jesus Christ more adequately? There's no doubt. I think it's my Yoruba friends who crack the story that when the black soap is inside the leaf when you are bathing, after a while, the leaf will begin to foam like the soap. So if missionaries, Paul, Timothy, Silas, stay with you for 18 months, over food, together in church, seeing how they respond to threats from society, hearing how they pray, literally, they were the model discipling team that you can see in the Bible. That at work, in church, just in hanging out with these missionaries, they have learned enough to know enough of scriptures that when they go to another town and they hear a preacher preaching and his theology is not right or the theology is not complete, they didn't change church. And what did they do? They did what they have always done, they have learned to do. They invite Timothy to their home for lunch. And the Bible says they taught Timothy more accurately about God. For all of us here, most of us here, our homes are our secret place. The sad thing is the fact that for many of us, our homes are empty nests. So, we have 5 rooms, we have 3 rooms, and it is only one we are using. The rest is storage. If there's something we should walk away from here with, is that this couple was first and foremost business people. There were Christians who were in business. They were not eye doctors, but at least they were making tents. And within the context of that, their faith came out alongside preachers, alongside missionaries. And they were friends with missionaries. I wonder whether there's any missionary I can call my friend and who calls me friend. I wonder whether there's any missionary who regards my home as his Lagos base. Final use of their home. Paul writing to Timothy, who took over from him as the bishop of the church in Ephesus, said, greet the church that meets in their home. That's the home of Priscilla and Aquila. Paul, writing to the church in Rome, says, greet the church that meets in their home. They are actually my partners. They have suffered for me. Which means everywhere they went, their home at least even if there were no hosting bishops or pastors, their home was a meeting place, a fellowship place that Christians met. So they learned from other Christians. Like the first century church, after Peter preached and 3,000 came to faith, if you go to chapter 2 of Acts, is it 42? It says that they were meeting in homes and breaking bread and studying the word. In what way is my house being deployed? My home being used as a fellowship place for the advancement of the gospel? I join many of us to give thanks to God for this place, for these four walls. But those of us who are members of VFC, before we had a physical place, had fellowship in our homes. Only last week, I was joking with Brother Ogbai that he should not blame me, but he should blame VFC, that since we had a church, I have not been to his house anymore. Because just imagine that members of VFC will go from VGC to Ikeja for fellowship in the house of Rabbi. And I don't know how many of us will go to the house of Brother Aret Adams in Akpakpa. And. Our fellowship at the moment is locked into VFC building. Not to even talk about our fellowship with missionaries. That is the core focus today. So, brothers, I think there's enough touching on the aspect of the journey, these unsung heroes that the Lord wants us to learn from as a fellowship. One, that we dare to come alongside missionaries. And the beauty of our coming alongside missionaries is that we learn from them, we are empowered to also do. Paul says, remember in 2 Timothy 2:2, whatsoever you have heard from me before many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others. There's a lot of benefit for us to derive as a family in the advancement of the gospel to just being within the context of our marketplace ministry, within the context of our work, to embrace those the Lord has brought into our lives, those the Lord has called to be out there in the field. Because the beauty is that once you adopt one person, you're praying for that person, you're hanging out with that person, you are sometimes actually sacrificing for that person. Because when they need school fees, for example, they'll likely ask, can you pray along with us? And it may just be you cannot, but you probably will know one or two friends you will phone on his on their behalf. Brothers, sisters, there isn't too much religiousness in what I've shared. Just practical things. But the Lord wants to challenge us today to ask, in what way are you and me being involved in the advancement of the gospel of Christ? Actually, it's a little point that I was prompted to share with you. It's about discipleship. Prisca and Aquila did not attend any discipleship class, as the disciples of Jesus. And thank God We have adopted disciple class, discipleship class as a church, and we are attending. But there is the practical aspect of life on life, and I'm told that the only reason why the Red Sea is dead is because it only receives. It doesn't give, or the Dead Sea is dead. It only receives. It doesn't give out. Are you and me only receiving and knowing all that there is to be known about discipleship? Am I ready to ask of God to empower me to be an alongsider of a missionary? Can we stand up to pray? Initially, I was going to be prompted, I'm going to prompt us to do what Bratoni did recently, asking us to move around. But rather than moving around, I just want to ask couples who are standing together to hold their hands. To just ask, what is God asking us to do in the advancement of the kingdom of God? There's nowhere in the story that we have had where Prisca and Aquila stood up to preach, but they empowered those who stood up to preach. They partnered those who preached. What is God asking us to do? Bragari, can you please come and pray with us?
Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for the message that we've heard this morning. Thank you for this marvelous example of a couple that worked together, that together raised up other believers, that gave hospitality and cooperation with the Apostle Paul. What an example for us today. Father, I ask that every family here, every couple here, will be inspired afresh to be like Jesus, to model their lives on these great heroes, largely unsung heroes of the past. Father, help us, we pray, in our own day, in our own context, in our own city, in our own environment, to carefully follow the leadership of your Spirit, that let our light so shine before men that you will be truly glorified. Thank you, Father. Send us to our homes, we pray, with these words ringing in our hearts and minds, we pray, that together we would bring more glory to Jesus. We ask it in his holy name.